The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, Fans and Friends Forever. Lily, Jane, Sally, Rita, and yes, Tom Brady dish about their new Super Bowl comedy and the joys of having and being friends. We won't be able to get through the whole article this time, but I'll finish it next time. And we have wonderful pictures here. We have a fan of Jane. I ran out and got a Klute hairdo, and that was from Lily. Jane says, fan of Muhammad Ali. My knees almost gave way. And then we have Sally, who says she's a fan of the L.A. Rams. Football was always in my life. And finally, we have Rita Marino, who says she's a fan of the Golden State Warriors to my bones. And also we have an interview with an object of their desire, which is Tom Brady, and we will get to that today. Together, they could fill a Hall of Fame with their statuettes. Lily Tomlin, 83, has Tonys, Emmys, and a Grammy. And last year, pressed her hands and Converse sneakers into wet cement to commemorate her star on Hollywood's Walk of Fame. The accolades for Jane Fonda, 85, require a separate Wikipedia page to catalog them all. At 76, Sally Fields has 3 Emmys, a pair of Golden Globes, and 2 Oscars. And then there's Rita Marino, who at 91 is one of only 17 performers in history to have received an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony, the showbiz grand slam known as an EGOT. Between them, they are credited with more than 100 movie roles, accounting for over $6.5 billion at the global box office and literally hundreds of TV episodes, Broadway shows, and hit records. You might think that these legends would be so self-satisfied with their accomplishments, so taken with their own stupendous success, that the concept of what might call fangirling, being an over-the-top fan of someone else, they simply wouldn't apply. But think again. Take the case of Tom Brady, 45, the 7-time Super Bowl champion and football's most illustrious unretiree, who returned to the NFL this season just 6 weeks after officially calling it quits last February. Oh, he's remarkable in his work. Just remarkable, Marino says. He's at the top of his game and the best in his field, and beyond that, he's gorgeous, kind, and sweet, says Fonda. Your jaw drops at the skill level, Field says. He's like a great, big, beautiful, perfect 20-year-old that you'd want to be your son, gushes Tomlin. Fandom clearly has no expiration date, at least as it pertains to the holder of nearly every major NFL quarterback record and the guy making this group of venerable actors sound like star-struck teenagers. I mean, he came round to our trailers with jerseys for each of us and such nice things, Fonda says. The women, along with the object of their adulation, appeared on screen for the first time together in February in the sports comedy 80 for Brady. It's a heartwarming, cheer-from-your-seats romp about 4 lifelong friends and die-hard New England Patriots football fans who embark on a raucous, late-in-life road trip to watch Brady play in the 2017 Super Bowl. The movie is inspired by a true story about a group of gung-ho, Brady-adoring grandmas. The real ones never got to the game. But it's mostly a fun-loving meditation on goofy sports traditions, bonds built around tailgates, and the agelessness of passion. For the high-profile Hollywood friends who made 80 for Brady, the project was a chance to reflect not just on what it means to be a fan and what their legions of fans mean to them, but also on the decades these performers have spent respecting and rooting for one another. And how could they not? Since their early roles in Singin' in the Rain, The King and I, and West Side Story, Moreno has brought exuberance to the screen like no one else. Fonda's appearances in films from Barefoot in the Park and Barbarella to Coming Home and the China Syndrome helped her become a leading actress of her generation. Tomlin broke through on television with comedy on Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, playing characters like the telephone operator Ernestine and childlike Edith Ann in an oversized rocking chair. Long before she and Fonda co-starred in the recent TV hit Grace and Frankie, they made 9 to 5 together, and in January they released another big-screen comedy, Moving On. Field is credited with some of the greatest of all boomer hits, Gidget, The Flying Nun, Smokey and the Bandit, Norma Rae, Mrs. Doubtfire, Forrest Gump, and that's just in the 20th century. I guess you can say we've done okay for ourselves, deadpans Moreno. Sitting down for a revealing and frequently hilarious conversation with AARP, the four actors opened up about their famous friendships, the hero encounters that have intimidated even them, and why being a fan never gets old. So for starters, are you sports fans? Lily Tomlin, we are now. Rita Moreno, are you kidding? I'm a Golden State Warrior fan down to my bones. I've been to games, but usually I'll just holler and scream at the screen at home. It's true physical genius doing what those football players can accomplish. And I'm a nut for football, too, especially quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. Jimmy Garoppolo from the San Francisco 49ers is also cute as hell. Beautiful eyes. Jane Fonda, I've been a baseball gal forever, partly because my husband got me into it. Ted Turner owned the Atlanta Braves, and we went to many games. And Tom Hayden played first base with a local Los Angeles hardball team called the Hollywood All-Stars. Sally Field, I'm a longtime sports fan, and I think the world underestimates the huge audience that older women represent. I feel almost sentimental and teary-eyed about it. Football was always in my life because my boys, who are now very much men, always loved football, so I watched it with them. And now that we have a football team again in Los Angeles with the Rams, I'm back to being a big fan. But it's not just football for me. What pro basketball did during the pandemic by going into a bubble so they could play, and how baseball continued and gave fans that outlet, I mean, it saved me. I feel so grateful to them for that. And Tomlin? I used to like to go to the Dodgers games, but only because I knew the organist who used to double for a character I did who played the organ. And now we have the AARP exclusive Q&A with Tom Brady. What's it like for you watching these four world-famous superfans go crazy for Brady? Answer, it blows me away. They are amazing. Not only are they great successes, but they're spectacular people who were so sweet and welcoming to me on the set. To have these icons together in a movie like this, it really is a once-in-a-lifetime experience and obviously so humbling. Question. It's refreshing to see age 70-plus women loving sports. What does this movie say about the enduring nature of fandom? Answer. Sports brings so many people together, and it's not just about the game. It's the friendships and the camaraderie and the relationships you have before the game, during the game, and after the game. The women in 80 for Brady bond over sports, but it's really about the bond they have with each other over the course of many years. Question. What do your fans mean to you? Answer. We're playing a sport and competing. But what we do is really entertainment. So you try to entertain people. People want to see you come through, so I always try to do my best. If someone's paying their hard-earned money to buy a ticket, I want to be great for them. Question, who are you the ultimate fan of? Answer, Michael Jordan. I had posters of him on my wall, and he's still one of my all-time idols. I first met him in the early 2000s, and I remember being a little nervous at the time, just because of his presence. But he's one of the greatest and a terrific guy. Question. You retired. than unretired last year. Is retirement overrated? Answer: retirement is a scary word. I mean, you're not retired from life. So when I am done with football, I believe I have many chapters to write. You've got to keep your mind busy. You've got to keep your body active. You've got to keep your spirit active. You've got to do things you enjoy doing with people you enjoy doing them with. And finally, question, let's say the moment eventually comes. What would an ideal day of retirement look like? Answer, you know, 23 years into this career, some decompression and relaxation would be good. It would be nice to be a little slower paced in the morning. I still want to be really productive with things that I'm doing in the midday, and then make sure I'm a present father for my kids and give them all the time they need. And we'll continue with this article next time. Now, moving on to AARP, the bulletin. Last time we started a story, a year-end boost for retirement health care. 2023 federal spending bill features gains for Social Security, Medicare, telehealth, and more. And we have one more section of this that we didn't get to last time, and it is titled Health Care. The package extends several pandemic-era provisions for people on Medicare, LeMond says. Among them are telehealth. The spending package extends for 2 years until the end of 2024. The expansion of telehealth medicine for Medicare recipients that were put in place during the COVID-19 pandemic. The spending law also permits Medicare enrollees to continue having these remote visits, either via video or telephone, from their homes. Before the pandemic, telehealth visits had to be video calls made from authorized locations. Hospital at home. The law extends through the end of 2024 a Medicare provision that allows hospitals to treat some patients in their homes instead of on-site. This effort began in November 2020 to free up hospital beds during the COVID crisis and protect older Americans from being exposed to the virus. And finally, behavioral and mental health. Beginning in 2024, Medicare will expand the types of behavioral and mental health providers it covers. Added to the list are intensive outpatient mental health services. This article was written by Dina Bunas, who covers Medicare health care, health policies, and Congress, and writes the Medicare Made Easy column for the AARP Bulletin. Andy Markowitz covers Social Security and retirement for AARP, and he is a former editor of the Baltimore City paper. Now let's move on to the cover story from this bulletin. 3 years in, how the pandemic has changed our lives and how it hasn't. This is a fairly lengthy article, so we'll get started on it today. As we enter year four of COVID-19, life in America is a tale of two pandemics. In noteworthy ways, the greatest health crisis of our time appears to be ending. Mask wearing has greatly dwindled. Restaurants are booming. Concert venues are again selling out as music makers return to the stage. And President Biden has announced that the federal emergency declarations will end on May 11th. And yet, with immunity waning and only 41% of older Americans protected with the updated booster, scary headlines have been rebounding. A contagious new strain of COVID has emerged. And while overall hospitalizations are down, Americans 70 and up are being admitted with COVID at a rate four times higher than that of the general population, with most fatalities among people over 64. Nothing is normal about this new normal. From healthcare to travel and family time, we've sorted out what's changing and what's not. Health and well-being. With wisdom and know-how, older Americans adapted and got through it, though alcohol use and fitness have proved serious challenges. Vaxes have been critical. A near universal share of older Americans, an astounding 94% of those 65 and older, were fully vaccinated against COVID-19. That's a level health authorities hope to achieve for older adults getting the all-critical bivalent booster shot despite the lag. The hesitancy and partisanship around vaccines that more broadly affected the pandemic response has not shown up among older Americans, and that really paid off, said Ashish Jha, MD, the White House COVID-19 response coordinator. Older Americans have fared better psychologically, too. It's true that the vast majority of the 1.1 million lives lost to the virus in U.S. have been older 65. But even with that devastating toll, older people overall had the experience, the resources, and the resilience to ride out this storm better than middle-aged and younger generations, says Laura Karstensen, director of the Stanford's Center on Longevity. Coming out of COVID, Americans aged 16 to 24, for instance, rated their physical and mental health as poor, much worse than those over 65 did. And older adults these past few years were the least likely to report psychological stress, headaches, and fatigue. Telehealth and urgent care have surged. Medicare telehealth visits in 2020 increased to 52.7 million from approximately 840,000 in 2019 and continue to number in the millions. When we do see a practitioner, it is often in a discreet corner of a pharmacy or superstore as companies like Walgreens, CVS, and Walmart pushed into urgent care, health screenings, and even minor wound and injury care. That's not going away. Amazon recently rolled out a new virtual medical clinic that treats common ailments like allergies, hair loss, and skin conditions. CVS spent $8 billion last fall on a network of doctors and clinicians who make house calls. Their interest is to take over the home, Eric Topol, MD, a professor of molecular medicine at Scripps Research in San Diego, told the New York Times. However, fitness may suffer. After coronavirus shutdowns, online fitness increased, but 50% of gym members said they would not return to their gyms. Nearly one in five adults over 50 reported a deterioration in the quality of sleep during COVID. Nearly two in five Americans, 70 and up, said they delayed medical services. I'm seeing patients who are 3 and 4 years behind on colonoscopies and mammograms, and that's led to delayed discoveries of and more advanced cancers, said Jeanette Garcia, a Denver internist. And nearly half of those over 65 and older who contracted COVID said they are less able to engage in physical activities like walking and exercising. Then there's a troubling trendlet. While older Americans as a whole weathered the pandemic better psychologically than younger generations, there have been pockets of despair. Substance abuse among older adults has increased these past years. We're not talking about the occasional gummy with cannabinoid, though CBD use is way up among older folks. The percent of alcohol-related deaths among Americans over 65 reached record highs in 2020. Death from opioids among those 65-plus also trended up, though in terms of sheer numbers of substance abusers, younger Americans still far outstrip their older counterparts. Older adults can be reluctant to receive treatment at facilities tailored to younger populations. As Garcia said, I hope one lesson for older people coming out of COVID is to be more open to saying, I need help. Now we're going back to AARP, the magazine, and let's look at some more fans for life. These enthusiasts share the meaning behind their passions and tell us why they're happily devoted at 50 plus. And these articles were told to Andrea Atkins, Michael Grant, and Niam Rowe. A fan of BTS, a K-pop boy band. This is from Dana Schulman, 76, in New Preston, Connecticut. Owner, gift and stationery shop, and candy store. When I first became interested in the band in 2021, I was in a fragile place. It was the 6th anniversary of my husband's death, and the weight of the loss felt heavier than usual. Mindlessly scrolling through a mishmash of videos on Instagram, I noticed these young men doing amazing choreography and singing pop tunes in Korean. They gave me a jolt of energy that helped pull me up out of my grief. I started listening to BTS whenever I was low, in the car, at my desk, or dancing around my store. It's a world far removed from my own that I escaped to, a private, joyful place. What has surprised me most is that I'm finding comfort from songs written in the language I don't even speak. Regardless of cultural differences, the band's message breaks through. It's going to be all right. I think everything comes into your life for a reason. Listening to the band's music made me feel good about myself. It gave me my mojo back. I could be flirty. It made me feel more positive about things. My friends said I looked happier. It pulled me out of thinking, who am I without this man? No matter what life throws at you, you can still find joy. The Los Angeles Clippers. This is by Daryl Bailey, a.k.a. Clipper Daryl, 54, of Linwood, California. Motivational speaker and nonprofit founder. I got fired in 1992, and the guy told me that I would never amount to anything in life. I went home, lay on the couch, and turned on the TV. And they were saying the same thing about the Clippers. I said, this is going to be my team. We are going to ride and die together. In 2005, I thought of wearing a half-red, half-blue suit to the games because the NBA started making inactive players wear a sport coat on the bench. That suit has changed my life. I can't believe celebrities know my name. I started a charity to show kids growing up in the hood, like I did, the kinds of things that are available in life. We take the kids to nice restaurants, and one of my celebrity friends will talk with them, just to let them know what's possible. The Sopranos. Pasha. There's a picture of him at the location of the show's final scene. Azhar Pasha, 52, Meridian, Mississippi, is a physician. Growing up in Pakistan, I learned about America through TV and films. Mafia stories like The Godfather hooked me. I was fascinated by characters who could be both evil and sympathetic. When I moved to America at 24, discovering The Sopranos continued my education in American culture. But it also reminded me of home. Pakistan is afflicted with corruption, nepotism, backdoor deals, strategic favors. Seeing this same kind of corruption play out in U.S. society felt strangely comforting. No matter where you are, greed and the battle for power appear. I also love the show because it's at odds with who I am. I'm an intensely polite person. Tony Soprano is the opposite. He is tough and brazen, and he tells it like it is. When a patient who is abusing drugs demands a painkiller prescription from me, I tap into my inner Tony to stand my ground. Cher. This is by Faye Wolber, 54, of Spokane, Washington, and she's a bartender. My earliest memories are of Cher. My room was cluttered with Cher dolls. The biggest punishment my parents could give me was to ban me from watching Sonny and Cher. When I was a young woman, there was no other women in the media or in my own life owning their sexuality so unapologetically, and any of her supposed imperfections made me love her even more. Cher showed me that you can wear braces and still have people swoon. She's like the big sister I never had, even though we've never met. Standing behind the bar, I imagine I'm Cher. She aims to entertain, but she doesn't take crap, and neither do I. And anyone who badmouths Cher gets kicked out of my bar. Now, with the rest of our time, we're going to look at some money-saving costs. And we're talking about phones now. Fact, average Americans will spend the equivalent of 44 days on their phones in 2022, according to a survey by reviews.org. Now, obviously, this is an older article, but it's still applicable today. So ditch the unlimited data. If you spend a lot of time at home or in other places that have free Wi-Fi, find hotspots using the Wi-Fi Finder app, you may not need to pay for a pricey unlimited data plan. Also, buy a smaller phone. If you're not watching many videos or using your phone for work, you may not need a 6-inch plus screen. You'll save by going with a smaller device. The 6.1-inch iPhone 13 starts at $799, while the 5.4-inch iPhone 13 mini costs $100 less. Switch to auto pay. Some providers, including Verizon and AT&T, give users discounts for setting up automatic payments. Bonus, you'll never get hit with a late fee again. Join forces. They're called family plans, but you need not be family to share a nicely discounted multi-user plan. The issue? Only one person owns the account. So, set up recurring payments to the person responsible for the bill to ensure everyone's paying their share. Get a prepaid plan. These plans are cheaper than the standard pay after the month's charges get tallied plan, and they almost never require a contract, but they tend to have fewer perks. Verizon Wireless's postpaid plan, for example, includes free 6-month subscriptions to Apple Music and Disney, plus for $10 more than its prepaid plan. Also, some prepaid plans will slow data speed more often than postpaid ones. Pass on phone insurance. Between the substantial monthly fee, often large deductibles, and hidden clauses, for example, what type of phone they get to replace your device with, most experts say these are not a great value. And next time we get back to these helpful hints, we'll look at online shopping. Fact, global online sales were expected to reach $5.5 trillion last year, according to market research company eMarketer, and we'll look at that. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.